There I am. All right, I'm going to go get my handy-dandy notebook over here. Can anybody tell me what that's from? All right. Glad somebody knew. So, as we were talking last week, it was about justification, the done part of things. If you didn't catch that, I would definitely recommend going online to the website, or if you got a smartphone, you can definitely download the cool PFC app, listening to that. So that was definitely, it's definitely a blessing to have technology at that point in time. You can catch what you missed, or you can re-listen to what you want to hear again. But in the justification part, what's already been done, I had ended with a scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:30. If you want to turn there. It says, 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, God has united you with Christ. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Now, I was going to talk about what to do with that freedom. That was how I ended the last one. What you would do with that freedom. And so we're going to start off what not to do with that freedom. All right, we're going to be in Ephesians mainly, but I'm going to start off over here in Romans 6. Feel free to turn there if you'd like. Romans 6:15-23. Well, first of all, sanctification. This is let me get back to this here. Sanctification. This is what the second part is, the do part. It was done and do. We've done, and now we're gonna do. No. All right. I should have thought about how I was gonna word that first. Sanctification is the do. Just the do part of it. And that means to be clean or to make holy. And not in a sense, you know, the to be clean, to make holy is the making, you know, making yourself holy. Let me word it. I mean, because God makes us holy, but working towards that. You know, it's a working. It's not, fumbling for my words. Here you go. Now you went and did it, Roger. Now I'm flubbing up here. Right, okay. Yep. So, to be clean or to make holy. So, with this freedom here that we have, that Christ has paid for us, we're going to start off with what not to do. Romans 6:15-23. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led even deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living, so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of the Lord is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So, with this freedom that we now have, again, I would encourage you to go back and watch the first one if you're not fully catching on here. But the freedom that Christ has given us once we have believed, once we have asked him into our hearts, he has given us that freedom. Now, we don't take that freedom to extremes and go, oh, you know what, no big deal, I can do whatever I want because God's already saved me. It's done. No need to do anything. No need to change who I am in the sense of going towards that righteous living as opposed to the continual sinning. But you take what God has given you, and you work it out. You work it out. Now we're gonna jump over Philippians 2:12, just kind of emphasize that. God eats popcorn. That's how I remember Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. God eats popcorn. For those of you who like popcorn, you're like, yes, I knew it. I knew he'd eat it too. Philippians 2:12 says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions," and this is Paul talking to the Philippians. "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear." In the New King James Version, it says, "Work out your salvation." So this is the sanctification part. This is to be holy or to make clean. This is where you work out that salvation that Christ has given us. Work it out. It's a continual work. Just going right over to Philippians 3:13. It says, Paul says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. So that's, you know, he's running his race. He uses that reference in Philippians, running the race. It's a continual race that we're running until the end, until God calls us home or until he returns. So it's not a, in an illustration that I've used quite frequently is, if you're not swimming upstream, what happens? You get swept downstream. You can't just stay right where you're at unless you're in a creek that's only about 2 inches deep. But if you're in an actual stream, if you're not swimming up, you're getting swept down. So it's a continual work. And the basis, Ephesians 2:8-9, going back to that, it says, "By grace through faith you were saved." You know, by Jesus Christ. So by grace through faith. That faith, working out that faith, working out that salvation. James 2, I promise we'll get to Ephesians here soon. But James 2, we'll turn over there. 14-26. And now you got to be careful with this, because there's a balance. It's not all about work. Grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. You can't earn God's grace, but you can give effort. You have a part to play. Another illustration is if you're in a pond or in a boat on a pond with God, and he's the only one rowing the oar, you're just going to go in a circle. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to get back to shore from where you came from or where you're going. You're just going to spin in a circle. But if you row too, you're rowing, then you're moving somewhere. He's not opposed to effort. He's opposed to earning. So with that kind of keep that balancing in mind, James 2:14-26 says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, 'Goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well,' but then you don't give that person any food or any clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now someone may argue, some people have faith and others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror." Sometimes I try and put myself in Paul's shoes, and he's like, "Good for you. Woo." Yeah, you know, just that sarcastic. Because sometimes you read, and you just read monotonously in your head. But then when you put some action to it, you're like, "Oh, I bet he was just furious," or he's like, "Yeah, whatever, guys." But anyway, he says, "Good for you, even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor, Abraham, was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. I love the way that's phrased. His faith and his actions worked together, both rowing that boat. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. And again, there's the balance there. It's not all about works. Not all about works. But there are works involved. Rahab the prostitute, picking back up in 25, Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also the faith is dead without good works. So, are you guys ready to do this part? You guys ready to work out your salvation? Good? Oh, I got a good response. All right, well, we can go home. It's early. No. All right. So, coming over to Ephesians, this one's 4 through 6. Now, I'm going to read through 4 through 6 just like I did 1 through 3. I want you to try and point out how many times that there's an action word, whether you do or whether you don't. Because how many know that not doing something is also an action? Right. So, I want to see, is it Sharon? I don't see her. Is she here today? Oh, she's out there. She was one of the ones who counted, and Josh was one of the ones who counted how many times before 1 through 3. So we'll see how many of you. It's a quiz. See how many of you keep track here. So, starting up in 4 verse 1, it says, "Therefore I, a prisoner," this is Paul talking again, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people." Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the laymen. I'm just kidding, it says teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. With the Lord's authority, I say this: live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. All right, that's just chapter 4. Going on to chapter 5. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all those who disobey Him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further, submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of His body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up His life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of the Word. He did this to present her to Himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of His body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents, because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will live a long life on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children. I like to say parents. I think it's fair that way. Mothers can provoke just as much as fathers. Right, Mom? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. I love you, Mom. And you too, Dad. Slaves obey their earthly masters with deep reverence, respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember, the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. A final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. To bring you up to date, Tychicus will give you a full report about what I'm doing and how I'm getting along. He is a beloved brother and a faithful helper in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you... Let me start that over. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're all still awake here? Good. Good. All right, did anybody count? Lost count. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot more, you know, on the do part of things here. Roughly I counted about 46 times, but that couldn't even been everything. 67. Who counted that? Paul? All right, 67. That's more than I had. 66?
I say 68.
All right. Can I get 69, 69, 70, 70, 71, 70? Who knew this would turn into an auction? Funny. So the do part, it's going to take some work. We know it's going to take some work. Is it going to be easy? No. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard changing your life. It is. Sometimes you get down on yourself. Sometimes you wonder why you're even doing it. You're thinking, man, what's the point in all this? It's a tough race to run sometimes. But it's worth it. At the end of it, when you're at the end of your race, it's worth every bit of every sweat, drop of sweat, every teardrop, every heartbreak, whatever it is, this race that you run to continually make yourself holy, to continually sanctify yourself, will bring about to this glorification. And I'll just do a little bit on glorification after just a minute or two here. But it is one step at a time. Take that first step. That first step, accepting Christ into your heart. That next step, all right, God, what do I need to work on? What do I need to change? What is it that I need to cleanse in myself? And it is a lifelong work. It's not, okay, I made it here. Because to get to the glorification, you got to keep swimming. You got to keep rowing. There's no end. And If you think there's an end, well, I mean, eventually there is an end. But if you think you're at the end within this life, you might be in some trouble. And but Tim Gilligan, a pastor I listened to in Florida, he says if you're the smartest one in your group, you might want to find some new friends. I mean, don't just leave your old friends, but find some new friends too, you know. And in that sense, just meaning if you feel like, you know what, this is where I'm stuck, this is where I'm stagnant in the stream, find someone to help pull you. Find someone to help, you know, all right, let's keep going, let's keep swimming, let's keep moving. So, one step at a time. Spiritual food, the milk. You know, I was looking at spiritual, I don't know, I Googled spiritual food, and these images popped up, and I thought it was kind of funny. It said milk was accepting the basic tenets of faith. Daily bread, studying the word. Fruit of the Holy Spirit, becoming Christ-like. And spiritual meat, growing beyond basic tenets of faith. So there's steps. You can't just jump from, you know, right here to right here. Because if you miss that next step, more than likely what's going to happen is you're going to fall flat on your face. And it's probably going to hurt worse than if you'd have just taken the first step. And sometimes, I will admit, right off the bat, you get anxious. You're, okay, God, I see what you want me to work on. And I'm there. I'm there tomorrow. Sometimes it doesn't happen like that. Sometimes, you know, you wish it would, especially in this day and age where everything's like bam, 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 you know, everything's so back to back to back to back. There's no time for taking the time to work on something, which is a bummer because it is the time that you spend with God where you learn more about yourself. You learn more of how to work on yourself. You learn more about who He is and how He loves you. About what He's done for you. You know, when Roger was talking about being redeemed and what Christ has done for us, it just brings me back to Isaiah 53 and just how he talks about, you know, all the brutality that he went through for us. I think it's Isaiah 53:5 says that he was crushed for our rebellion. He was pierced for our sins. So, and it goes on to further detail. And it comes to the point where it says he was maimed so bad that you couldn't even recognize him. Pardon me, I gotta take a drink. I think I did all right. No spilling. Roger's like, spill, spill. I'm surprised you didn't put like a little button here so that way when I, he just bounces me. Now I lost where I was. Oh, back to, you know, he was maimed so bad you didn't even recognize him. That should have been each and every one of us. But God loved us so much that he sent his son to take our place. So now it is our turn to work it out. It's done. Now we do. Continually work it out, one step at a time, one step at a time. I like right off the bat, in 4, it says, 4:1, lead a life worthy. 5:1, it says, imitate God. In 5:15, it says, so be careful how you live. We're going to jump over to Hebrews 12:14 real quick. You can stay where you're at, and I'll jump over there and read it. Hebrews 12:14 says, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. Work twice already within the same sentence. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. So again, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Sanctification, to be holy, to make clean. To be clean and to make holy. If you don't work, you're stagnant in that stream, and then you get swept down. You get swept down. Look after, pick them back up in 15, look after each other. Oh, no, it was just 14. Just kidding. You can read 15 on your own if you'd like. So, You know, it is a work. And I keep repeating that. But I don't want you to get lazy. I don't want you to get disheartened because it's hard sometimes. Because sometimes you may not know what to do. Sometimes you may not know where to go. Sometimes you might not know what your next step is. Literally, sometimes your steps are day by day. What do I do next, God? You know, I've made to this point. You know, I've worked on what you had showed me, what my next step was. What do I do next? And you're looking even a week, a month, a year into the future. What do I do? What he wants you to do is look at the day. What do you want me to do today? Let's go back. I mean, you can plan. There's absolutely nothing wrong with planning. But sometimes when you feel stagnant, when you feel stuck, when you don't know what to work on, when you don't know how to work out your salvation past where you are, not saying that you know it all or you've arrived already, but you wonder, what do I do now? What's my next step? Take it day by day. Day by day. Because within that day, you'll know what to do. Sometimes you might just be sitting at home. Spend that time with the Lord. Because that's when he is going to show you what your next step is. I like Tom Backley. I believe it was Tom Backley who said, just go for a walk. Just go for a walk, see where the Lord leads you. Sometimes he leads you into situations you never thought you'd be in. Next thing you know, you go for a walk, you're talking to somebody, and who knows, they might have their salvation now because all you did was took a walk. And that happens day by day. Ephesians 4, 22 and verse 24, verse 24 says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. There it is right there. That's more work. Throw off your old sinful nature. And let me give you some advice. You know, I'm only 24, but I'll give you some advice if some of you don't know. Do it one thing at a time. One thing at a time. I tried doing like a compilation. Is that what it, like a compilation of things at once? And it was like, it ends up in a disaster because you fret. You're like, oh man, I got this, and then I got this, and then I got this, you know, and you're all over the place. You're like a tree growing out of the ground, branches everywhere, you know, and you're trying to work on them all at once. Work one root at a time. One root at a time. Once you get that, gotta be like, all right, here's your next thing. All right, here's your next thing. Okay, let's work on this. All right, now we gotta go back to this because you weren't swimming upstream. You forgot about that. So one thing at a time. Romans 12:2 says to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Spend time with God, Word of God. Yeah, not just by this, and not just by spending time with God, but a mix of them both. Mix of them both. Now, jumping over to Galatians here, throwing off the old sinful nature. Galatians 5:19 through 22. This is the throwing off. In these, mind you, when I read these, when we've read through Ephesians, these are not lists. These are not checklists saying, okay, check, done, check, done, check, done. No, because if you look at it that way, then you're living by the letter of the law. You know, you're no different than the Pharisees who were all about the law, all about you must follow to the T. And it can't be crooked, can't be a crooked T. It's got to be straight, perpendicular. These are guidelines to help you. These are guidelines to help you. Not checklists to check off, but guidelines to help you. So Galatians 5:19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Those are some pretty good guidelines to avoid and to do, to work on. To work on love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Yeah, exactly. We're going back to the auctioneering. I cannot say that 10 times fast. I'd get it mixed up. But those are things to work on. And then the whole list in 19 through 21, that's a whole list to avoid. You know, and in different parts too, there's more lists. Or more guidelines, let me put it that way, because they're not lists. They are guidelines. So at the end of it all, then when we do finally come to the end, we have worked through that sanctification through our life. We come over to the glorification side. Now, even here on this life, when we finish a project, when we finish, when you finish, you know, a chore, whatever it is, what is it that you want to hear? Good job. Well done. That's what you want to hear. That's what anybody wants to hear. I don't know that there'd be any person here who likes to hear, man, that's a terrible job. Do it again. Do it again. Nobody wants to hear that. They want to hear well done. Matthew, over in Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23. It says, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling a small amount. So now I'll give you more responsibilities. And in 23, he says, similar thing. Well done, a good and faithful servant. So when we get to the glorification side, when we get to see God, are we going to hear the words, well done? Or are we going to hear, well, you're done? You know, what do you want to hear? You probably want to hear the well done side, right? I get an amen, a nod, high five, something. Yeah, we want to hear well done. We don't want to just be the lackadaisical people going, oh, I'll doggy paddle upstream. I'll make it through. I'll work out a little bit of my salvation, and then I'll stop for a bit. And then I'll work it out, and then I'll stop. I encourage you to live your life with passion and with drive, knowing that there is a purpose at the end of it all. Knowing that, you know, those two words, well done, are worth it all. By our Creator, by our God and Creator, to hear well done. You know, to hear from anybody that I do work for, well done. Like, that builds me up right away. Sometimes it explodes my ego. It's like, oh man, I do a good job. Look at me. You know, but to hear that from our Creator, to hear that from the one who made us, who loves us more than we can love ourselves, or that anyone else can love us. Man, those are some powerful words. Those are some powerful words. So Philippians, jump back over. I'm having you guys jump all over like usual. You should be used to it by now. Philippians 3:21. says he will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into his glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. And this is the glorification. And then just one more scripture. Revelations 21:4. Revelations 21, verse 4, says he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Amen and amen. Right? It's worth it. Even in the times where you struggle, in the times where you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when you walk through, the human will is powerful. It is powerful. God gave us a will for a reason. It's hard to break the human will. When you're in your deepest points and you're like, I just can't do it anymore. But you wake up that next day, that's that human will. Saying, oh, I can't do it. But here you did it. I can't make it through another day. You saw a new morning. I can't make through another night. You saw the sunrise that morning. It's hard to break the human will. So use it. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. I encourage you just to take God, you know, as Roger mentioned, take him at his word. Go boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercies and grace. For any and every situation, for all things. He gives you that option, take that option. I'm telling you, take that option. It's a lot easier than trying to muster it up yourself. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you again for what you've done. We thank you for the word that you have given us to know what you have done. Lord, and we know that we have things to do. We have a work to do, to continually work towards being clean and making ourselves holy. In the sense that, you know, there's an old nature that we are to throw off and a new nature that we are to put on, to be like you. And that's what we strive for, Lord. That's what we want. And we know that there is a great reward for us when we cross the other side of the umbrella of salvation into glorification. We look forward to hearing the words, well done. And me personally, and I'm sure as well as everybody else, we loathe to hear the words, well, you're done. So Lord, I just pray for each and every one of us here, including myself, that we would just continue to work diligently, working out our salvation with diligence, in keeping the goal of bringing that salvation to others in mind. That we have a chance to give what we have been given each and every day. Lord, and I just pray that we leave this place encouraged and ready to fight that good fight and run that race. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you again. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, there will be a prayer team up here, and you are welcome to avail yourselves to that. Otherwise, you're dismissed with the blessing of the Lord.